Okay, so I will call the Siskiyou County Planning Commission meeting for October 18th to order. Flag salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. So, roll call, please. Roll call.
Commissioner Hart.
Here.
Commissioner Mello.
Here.
Commissioner Fowle.
Present.
Commissioner Lindler.
Here.
Let the record show that Commissioner Beal is not present today.
Okay. Approval of the minutes from the September 20th, 2023 meeting.
So moved.
Did you have a discussion, Ms. Lindler?
Yeah, Planning Director Haley Lang. The minutes are not included in the packet, right? Or
No, they're not.
Okay.
So
they will be ready the following week.
Okay, so we will continue.
Because were they not online?
No.
No? Uh-oh.
You were looking at two.
I was looking at the wrong one. Okay.
I was wondering why you were moving and why we were asking to approve. It's like, I had no minutes to look at.
Got it.
I knew they weren't here, but I thought I found them. Never mind. That's another story.
And because I didn't save my entire packet, I'm a little off here. Okay, so we will continue the approval of the September 20th minutes to the November meeting. Okay. Are there any unscheduled appearances? Any person may address the commission on any subject matter within the jurisdiction or responsibility of the commission at the beginning of the meeting. Is there anybody online that would like to?
Commissioner, we actually approved at the meeting that you were absent for last month to no longer have comments.
Oh,
Zoom.
Okay.
Listen in only.
Okay, thank you. I will get caught up here. Okay, and there's nobody in the audience, so I'm going to move on from item five. Are there any conflicts of interest on anything on today's agenda?
Hold on just a second. Your mics aren't working, right?
They shouldn't be. That's why Haley has the recorder up here.
I know, but the mics usually work in the whole
thing. Doesn't sound like it.
No. Okay, hopefully my voice is loud enough to be recorded. So are there any conflicts of interest on today's agenda? Okay, so seeing none, we'll move on. Presentation of documents. All items presented to the Planning Commission during a public hearing become a permanent part of the record. 12 copies of any information presented to the commission should be given to the clerk of the commission for distribution to the commission. In order to obtain an accurate record of the testimony, please address the commission at the speaking table and clearly introduce yourself with your full name and address. Your address will not be included in the minutes of the meeting, and a maximum of 5 minutes per speaker will be given so that all interested parties will have an opportunity to address the commission. And then availability of the public records. All public records related to an open session item on the agenda, which are not exempt from disclosure pursuant to the California Public Records Act, that are distributed to a majority of the legislative body, will be made available for public inspection at 806 South Main Street in Wairika, at the same time that the public records are distributed or made available to members of the legislative body. All project documents are on file at the Planning Division of the Siskiyou County Community Development Department at 806 South Main Street in Wairika and are available for public review. Okay, and then there's the public hearing protocol. I won't review because it's in the agenda. And then, but I will read the right of appeal statement, which states that projects heard at this Planning Commission meeting may be subject to appeal within 10 calendar days of today's meeting. And if the 10th day falls on a weekend, the appeal must be received the following business day. Please contact the county clerk for information. Appeals must be submitted to the county clerk's office together with the appeal fee of $1,250. If you challenge the environmental review of the project proposal in court, you may be limited to raising only those issues raised at the public hearing or in written correspondence delivered to Siskiyou County Planning at or prior to the public hearing. Are there any additional changes to the agenda items or anything else to be continued besides just the minutes? Anything? I guess there's only one item that we'll be hearing today. Okay. So on new business, we have agenda item one, which is the Hayes use permit UP-23-05 as categorically exempt. Staff report, please.
This permit project proposes to convert an existing single-family dwelling at 1716 Pine Grove Drive, northwest of the city of Mount Shasta and within its sphere of influence, into a vacation rental. The approximately 1,956 square foot single-story house is located on a 2.5-acre parcel that is zoned for rural residential uses. The project is consistent with the general plan and zoning for its area and was inspected by the Building and Environmental Health on April 4th, 2023 and August 16th, 2023, respectively. Four parking spaces are required for this project, and there is adequate space within the garage and on the paved driveway. Three bedrooms are proposed as sleeping quarters. Based on the square footage of the rooms, up to 12 guests could be accommodated. However, the septic design capacity is limited to 6 persons. Therefore, the maximum occupancy is limited to 6 persons. This project is exempt from CEQA pursuant to section 15301 as it is an existing facility and there are no unusual circumstances or future activities which might reasonably result in this project having a significant effect on the environment. No public comments were received for this project. Staff recommends adopting the categorical exemption and approving the use permit for this project. That is a suggested motion in the package. Thank you.
Thank you. So are there any commission questions at this time? Okay. So I will open the public hearing for this item. Seeing there's nobody in the audience that opposes or supports the project, I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing since there's nobody in the attendance and bring it back to the commission. I'll start. I do have a question, and I'm not sure if it's a typo, but on page 7, under occupancy heading, so it's the 2 3 bedrooms.
It is a typo. It's
okay.
A 3-bedroom home.
Okay. I thought that was a typo. So we just need to get that corrected. And then my only other question, and just a point of clarification, is there was the wood stove next to the monitor heater in that front room. Did that, and that was in the health department, and I assume it's rectified. Did they have to remove one? Because the comment was that it was too close, and that was on page...
Exhibit B, page 2.
2 of 5, yeah, thank you. And in the PDF, it's page 44.
I'm calling in. I don't know if anyone can hear me. This is Zoomy.
I just muted him. Do you want me to? It, yeah.
Nope. We said in person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We said in person.
Yeah. I was like, yeah. The rule's the rule. So do you? I assume it's been rectified. I mean, because
never
it's here.
Huh? Never assume.
Never assume. Okay. Well, that was my question, is that there were several items that were noted in the Exhibit B. I do see that they are checked off, but on the inspection report, but the things that I had questions about specifically was the wood stove monitor heat being too close to each other and how that was rectified. Because, and then...
the electrical service is not in a good location.
Yeah. I had the wood stove monitor heat. The fuel tank was not permitted. And make sure that that's up to code. The chimney bracing, because it appeared that chimney was too tall. The electrical service, did they put some kind of structure or move the chimney service because it looked like it was in the pathway of vehicle traffic.
Yep.
And then And then the electrical panel didn't have a cover. Just since it's in front of us, I just want to see what was remedied.
I'll put it this way. As a commissioner on this project, I will not vote to approve this one. Normally, when Dan does a checklist and gives it to us, there are minor issues that need to be resolved, and our past practice has been, as long as there were no other major issues, we would approve with the understanding that the project proponent would address and fix all of the Director of Environmental Health's issues before a use permit would be issued. This one is beyond minor issues. And I will not support this one. There are too many issues here. This, not to mention my pet peeve, the floor plan is hand-drawn, which I said over a year ago, I do not want to see another floor plan that's handwritten.
Through the chair.
Yes, please.
So please note on page 3 of 3 of Exhibit B, the inspector, the building inspector, initialed and dated August 16th, 2023, which was their final inspection, noting that the reinspection conforms to Siskiyou County Building Code.
I don't see that.
Or rectified.
It says non-conforming and reinspection on 8/16, which was 2 days ago.
2 months ago.
Okay, 8/16, so it, everything is fixed?
Yes,
that's the way I read it.
I'm just curious on how they fix it. I assume maybe they took the wood stove out. You know, because that was the biggest thing, is just hazard being, you know, vacation rental.
Well, and that, the power supply being right in the pull-up.
Yeah.
Whoever was the builder on that should be shot. You don't do that. Especially when you have snow and ice. You don't put it in a vehicle ingress egress.
Yeah.
So well, they, and it looked so like they moved that power?
The inspector did not note how these were corrected. He just noted that it conforms to building code. He did not question his.
See, that's the way I read it too. They weren't specific, but it says that it was corrected. And the fact that it's before us indicated to me that all these issues had been corrected. And going back to what Commissioner Fowle said about the prior checklist, you know, if they were minor things, then they would be corrected.
Do you know when the inspector goes out? So he took pictures of the non-conforming, apologies, of the non-conforming items, does he then go back and do a photo series to like document for the county?
We did not receive photos of the corrections from the inspector.
Because that would be helpful in situations like that. You know, this is like, okay, this is what it was, this is what it is. Just so, I mean, I guess it's not our role at some level to
Well, it is our role. I was just going to double check, say that.
I said, it's not our role to inspect, but it is our role to make sure that this meets code. I mean, we're kind of the.
So if this was inspected for conforming on August 16th, why didn't we see this in September? When Dan was sitting here.
So I can answer that. Unfortunately, it was on my schedule to work on it, and I ran out of time to get it done due to other projects, and so it ended up going to Bernadette, and she was able to get it done this month.
Thank you.
Because am I mistaken, it's Dan's signature on this, isn't it?
No.
Daniel Martinez.
Oh, it's Daniel Martinez?
Yeah. Two Dan's in the house.
Any questions, Commissioner Mello?
No, because I read it as it was, you know, that the fact that it was before us tells me that these things have been corrected.
Well, we've had them before where they haven't been, but we've been told they need to be. But
they were stated. They were stated in the staff report.
Commissioner Hart?
Yeah, I'm going to go right back here to page 10. Siskiyou County Building Division.
What page are you on?
Page 10.
Of the report or the exhibit?
The report.
The mic isn't working.
Oh, okay. Great. Oh, finally. 23 years, finally. I love it. All right, I'm going to read this. It says, the building division reviewed the information related to the proposed project, the vacation rental, performed an on-site inspection April 28, 2023. Non-conforming areas were noted during the first inspection. So a second on-site inspection occurred August 16, 2023. The subject property passed the inspection as there were no items that needed to be corrected.
Okay, so that means they fixed them.
That means that they're
got it.
Everything's been
where they should be.
Okay. Now, is there something we're missing here?
I hope not. And
I guess it's not on our head if the building inspector put his signature on it.
He's got his signature right
there. That's it.
Yep.
So I see no reason to turn it down.
Okay.
Yep. As long as that, I just wanted to clarify that because that was my only question, you know, was just to make sure it's safe. okay, with that, this is a voice vote. We have a motion. Do we have a motion?
Make the motion.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
Yes, please.
I move that we adopt resolution PC 2023-014, a resolution of the Planning Commission of the County of Siskiyou, State of California, approving the Hayes Use Permit UP-23-05 and determining the project exempt from CEQA.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
So we have a motion and a second. Did you guys get those? Okay. And then all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Motion carries. Nobody opposed. Okay, so items for discussion, ongoing staff, is there an update on the general plan movement?
Yeah, just a few updates. Haley Lane, planning director. So the consultant team, they're still working on the existing conditions background report, and so that's slated for public review early spring. I'm also working with the consultant team. We're forming an internal TAC group, which mostly will be comprised of county department heads and county staff. And the intent of that TAC is to look at documents prior to them going out for public review. So it's going to be the county side of, you know, looking at, you know, these documents as they're being created. And lastly, working with the consultant team to schedule out our first set of public meetings, which is also slated for early spring.
Okay.
Through the chair.
Yes, please. Go ahead, Commissioner Mello.
The housing element, is it going to have anything to do with this? Is it going to be a separate thing, or how's this going to... Is it going to be intertwined?
So it's separate and not, right? So related to the housing element, we actually just received final approval from HCD. So I'll be taking that final document to the board for adoption November 14th. And so it's sort of a weird process, right? Because we go through this public hearing process. You all looked at it. The board looked at it. You know, edits, suggestions, comments were included and made. We had to send it to HCD. They had more comments in terms of how things needed to be righted to meet certain unfunded mandates and legislative, you know, statutory requirements and things like that.
HCD?
Department of Housing and Community Development.
Within the county?
No, so HCD is the state. The state.
Do we get to see those comments?
I can provide...
Because they may have their wish list of what they want in it. But by law, counties have the ability to tell HCD to go to hell. are we going to be able to see those comments and propose changes before it goes to the Board of Supervisors?
No. So I can provide the HCD letter of the changes that they wanted. So it was really just wordsmithing of things that were already in the document. It wasn't anything new in terms of like, hey, you guys need to have this program in there. It wasn't anything like that. It was more, you need to word a certain, you know, program this way to meet this requirement. So it wasn't.
I would like to see that because wordsmithing can be dangerous.
Sure. And so I can provide that. Okay. Not a problem.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so that will be going to the Board of Supervisors November 15th for them to accept it, essentially. And so
on the 15th or the 14th?
The 14th.
Okay.
Yeah. And so with the general plan update, the housing element obviously is included in the general plan, you know, package per se, but we're not touching that element, right? So the housing element isn't a statutory required element. We're not touching it for, you know, the next 8 years, right? But it will be packaged within the entire, you know, general plan update.
Well, I was just curious because a lot of times one leads to the other or there's conflict between one and the other and this sort of thing.
Yeah, the housing element is a little funky because it really is a standalone document and there's not too much intermingling versus, you know, like the open space element and the conservation element go hand in hand, right? And that can inform the land use element, but I think because of just how the way the state has formatted what's required in the housing element, it really acts as a standalone document in a lot of ways. So there shouldn't be too much, you know, conflict.
I was just curious for my own information.
Yeah, sure.
Because I just don't want this to go through the process and we're here in 2029 and still waiting for the damn thing to come before us.
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody conflicted with something.
Right, sure.
Understood. Thank you.
Yeah.
Through the
chair. Yes.
I would like to show you guys, although the comments aren't available online, we actually do have a Siskiyou County Housing Element.com website, and when you go to it, it'll have a pop-up or you can select resources, and it has the original draft that you can review, version 1, and then version 2, and then version 3, and all of the changes that they requested are redlined, so you can see what changes have been made from version to version. And then it's the final version 3 draft that will be, I believe that they'll accept all the changes at that point and then submit it to the board for them to review without the red line changes. But the red line changes, you can see what has changed over the 3 different versions, is available online.
And then that's the website is SiskiyouCountyHousingElement.com?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
If our internet's fixed, I'll try to do that. We have been without for 2 days.
Oh, really?
Luckily, this is a lot of text. It doesn't have a lot of graphics, just a few pictures. It is available for everybody to review.
So great. How do you handle the comments about it? How do you incorporate what people comment send to you folks?
So I don't think that we had any public comments.
So they were HCD comments. Yeah,
but this was available for the public to comment on, and I don't believe we got any public comments. All the comments that we got were internal or through HCD.
Okay.
We had comments, though, when we were hearing it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
But after it moved beyond us.
Yeah, we didn't receive any additional public
comments.
Does
this have to go through the 3 meeting process with the Board of Supervisors, or is it just the one-time shot?
It's
to
just the one, yeah.
To approve it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, great. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Moving on, item 4. The next regular meeting of the Planning Commission is scheduled for Wednesday, November 15th at 9 a.m. I have a conference that week.
Right. And I may not be here either. I'm going to do my best to be here.
Okay.
I may have a conflict as well.
Okay.
So, yeah, I have got the California Forest Pest Council. I'm the incoming chair, so I can't miss that one. So I'll be at UC Davis.
Okay.
I don't know if we'll have a quorum, but
that's
just...
okay. I'll call before and make sure that we're going to have a quorum.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then we'll figure out how to, who's to run the meeting, but yep. Just FYI.
Sure.
Is there any correspondence today?
No.
Okay. Any additional staff comments?
Yeah, I do. Commissioner Fowle asked at the last meeting about some Tule Lake refuge regulations that are restricting hunting there this fall. I talked with Greg Austin, who manages the refuge, and basically, by federal law, 60% of the reserve has to be towards preserving the birds, and 40% can be open for hunting. The preserve for the benefit of the birds takes priority over hunting, and there's a conflict in terms of resources or preserving the birds. And I guess the big situation, as Mr. Austin explained, is that the refuge still remains very short on water. Last year, I guess they got no water, no way. We all know there was a lot of rainfall this year. It wasn't really enough to fully restore the Tule Lake area. So basically there is one wetlands there. And that is off limits this year. To give the birds a sanctuary, I guess, essentially for their migratory routes. And as a place to be, he stated that wetland was opened up for hunting this year. The birds wouldn't be sticking around anyways. They'd all be too scared off. The rest of the refuge is open for hunting. It's all dryland hunting. And I'm talking here like I'm a hunter. I've never hunted fowl in my life. But Anyways, it is open for white geese, Canadian geese, and pheasant hunting on dry ground. In terms of consultation, they never consulted with the county, and I double-checked with the county administrator's office. But on the other hand, they're driven by the federal statute and regulations. They did, however, consult with hunting groups. Two of the more statewide hunting groups, Ducks Unlimited, and I can't remember what the other one was called, the California Waterfowl Association, did support the restrictions they were placing. He is very aware the local hunter is not popular, and in fact, he was going to close off the whole refuge to hunting this year due to the lack of water. But for the fact, some local people made some calls to Doug LaMalfa's office, and I guess with some pressure from that office, at least the dryland hunting portion was opened up. So that's my report on Tule Lake and hunting this year.
Okay, how about your report back on the other issue you were directed to look into?
On the minutes.
Yes.
Yes. The minutes, I did have a discussion with my boss and the county clerk. The minutes are essentially the Board of Supervisors' minutes. They did, apparently Wendy said, I don't know if you saw them, at least she said she asked for comments from the commission beforehand. But otherwise, they were, as they're the Board of Supervisors' minutes, only the board would approve. It appears that in the future, if the Planning Commission wants to have minutes or control minutes, it would have to bring its own clerk, and that has been done when there have been double meetings, like between counties. Like earlier this summer, there was a tri-county meeting. But essentially, the commission would be welcome to do, but would need to bring its own clerk if it wanted to have complete control of its own set of minutes. Otherwise, the clerk's office say, Wendy told me that they did invite comments, and I don't know if you saw that.
There were too many. It would have taken me an hour.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have to do that.
Can I interrupt real quick?
Go ahead.
Could you bring me up to speed on what the issue is with the minutes or what the question was, since I was not?
The minutes that we were all sent by the county clerk reflecting the discussion of our joint planning supervisory initial kickoff meeting for the general plan were, understatement, lacking in detail. I mean, it was basically a one paragraph synopsis of a yes. meeting that lasted for over 4 hours. And it was extremely disappointing because I look, and maybe I'm old fashioned, but I look at minutes needing to reflect an accurate accounting of what was said, what was asked, and by whom. So that in the future, if we take issue with something, and we can say, hey, we brought that back, we brought yeah, exactly. that up and wanted it addressed back here. If there's no record of it, it's our we said, they said. Mm-hmm. And that's what, it's just baffling to, it would have taken over an hour for me to just compose. I shouldn't have to do that. I don't mind making moderate, minor tweaks. Our minutes, what we get, are accurate. They have detail. It's who said, who asked, who answered, and how. Yep. And that's what we need. That's what should be happening with the supervisors as well.
Yep. And then just point of clarification, because those meetings are recorded, is that part of the public record, or is the minutes that official? I'm just wondering if there's a reason why they're truncated.
Well, the actual audio, via a transcript, would take precedence over the minutes.
Okay.
So now, is that maintained in posterity?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Public records.
Because I just have I've got a bad feeling in my gut through this general plan process that there are going to be issues come up.
Mm-hmm.
That members sitting up here ask specific questions back then that need to be addressed. And
it's the same issue in court, as you're probably all well aware. The court clerk takes notes, and those become the minutes of the court. But if there's a discrepancy, the transcript or the audio of the court proceedings will be precedent over the clerk's minutes.
Okay.
Does that give you a little bit more comfort then?
Gives me no comfort. It clarifies the position that the clerk is.
Realize the minutes are useful because of the ready reference. We can all look at them. They're easy to hold in the hand. It's a lot more awkward either to listen to an audio or have someone pay for a transcript of proceedings.
Right.
Yep. Okay.
I have one question. The minutes that we receive, we the Planning Commission, or had access to, is it the same thing that the Board of Supervisors got? Or did they get the more detailed?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
I'm not sure I kind of understand the question. I mean, there's only one set of minutes that are approved by the board.
Okay, that's what I'm asking, though.
But the set they approved, as Commissioner Mello asked, is that the same draft minutes that we received?
I don't know what you received. I would certainly think so. I mean, yeah.
All right.
So good.
Thank you for looking into those two items that are on the first one. There's a bigger issue for the density and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service failing to listen to the biologists who are concerned of the overpopulation in the one wetted area and are actually recommending hunting in there to disperse them to prevent disease. Because there's a big issue with botulism right now down because of the Tulare Lake, and rice farmers working with Ducks Unlimited actually started their harvest early this year to try to get some areas flooded to hopefully spread the bird population out to reduce death.
Yeah, he didn't mention that perspective at all. He just said basically the opposite for Ducks Unlimited. Basically, they thought it was a good idea to have the off-limits area completely.
I can tell you Ducks Unlimited was not in favor of it.
Okay.
Through the chair?
Yes.
I have the minutes that were approved for that meeting. If you would like to take a look at them, I can put them up on the screen real quick.
No.
They are so lacking.
Yeah.
I already looked at the ones that were approved, and that's why I asked the question last time, do we not have the ability, since it was a joint meeting, and council answered.
It's kind of live and learn. We'll take a clerk, Janine, or whoever next time to...
Yeah, take our head cheese. She's the best.
She is.
It's 3 pages, so I'm not sure if that's...
Yeah, 3 pages.
Yeah.
For that extensive a meeting with everything that was asked and answered.
No.
Yeah. 3 pages is one project for Janine on us.
Yeah, she does a great job. So, okay, so with that, I'm going to open up commission... we're on commission comments, I guess.
Yes.
Well, we were getting staff, and we were just having a give and take.
Yeah, that's right. So, but I have a commission comment on not disclosing their, you know, personal, but how is Janine? Is she back to work? Is she okay?
She's doing better. She's working from home part-time.
Okay.
But she, I believe, will be out for a couple more months at least.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. We miss her. So, okay.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Commissioner Mello, anything?
No, ma'am.
Commissioner Hart, anything?
Yeah, I'm just curious what county policy is about the sphere of influence, because Mount Shasta claims all the way to the Weeds city limits.
Damn close.
Does the county recognize that?
Yeah, it's mapped out.
So their claim of sphere of influence, that only pertains to county actions. Doesn't pertain to like CAL FIRE or PHPs or anything like that.
You mean the districts? Is that what you're asking?
No, it doesn't.
I'm just curious.
You mean the county state regulatory agencies?
Other entities that are making decisions, issuing permits, do they recognize the city of Mount Shasta's claim of sphere of influence like the county does?
Well, I suppose it depends. I mean, we recognize it for vacation rentals because it's in our ordinance that we have to make a
right.
difference. It all, you know, statewide, I doubt that there's probably any distinction between the unincorporated county, within the sphere of influence of Mount Shasta. There'd have to be a specifically stated regulation that would cause a regulatory agency to distinguish between the two. I mean, there are other things like service agreements, mm-hmm. which probably Ms. Jarab is far more familiar with them than I am, or Ms. Lang. I don't do that much LAFCO, but spheres of influence really matter for service districts and extending utility services and things like that. And I believe the idea is eventually that the city may grow out to that sphere of influence, or that it may eventually come within jurisdictional boundaries. I think it's a little bit unusual that we base our zoning, our ability to do use permits on vacation rentals based on somebody's sphere of influence, but I don't think it's unheard of. I guess my answer is a little bit rambling, but the one sentence answer is, unless there's a regulation out there that distinguishes the sphere of influence from the rest of the unincorporated area of the county, everybody should be treated the same.
Yep. And I can answer on CAL FIRE from, you mentioned THPs and permits.
I'm going to go back to the housing element here. Go ahead.
Okay, because there's no, CAL FIRE doesn't have any, you would have to get through the Board of Forestry special consideration, and that's done at a county level to have special county rules, mm-hmm. but in Siskiyou County doesn't. It's pretty much, you know, Santa Cruz, et cetera. So.
Well, the only thing we have, what you just said, is because of vacation.
Just the vacation rental. But
right.
to answer your question on CAL FIRE, there's nothing...
Well, I just use that as an example.
Okay.
But now we have the housing element coming. And there's all the hoorah going on throughout the state of cities saying we're not going to go by what Sacramento is telling us. And Sacramento is now suing the cities, i.e. San Bernardino. There's a big hoorah right here in Wairika, and the city council put it out to the public One of my neighbors showed up in here screaming and hollering. And I just found out it's because he owns a big chunk of property right next to what's going on right up the street up here. Now I know why he's screaming and yelling. If Mount Shasta claims a sphere of influence all the way to Weed, what kind of an impact is that going to have now with the county housing element and where we're going to put all of this stuff? Or is that going to give them special consideration to stop that? Where they don't want stuff they deem as undesirable and within their sphere of influence?
So, just generally speaking, at the end of the day, it's not it's an unincorporated area, so it's our jurisdiction that sphere of influence is. I think that was an overlay on top of us, right? Specifically with the vacation rentals, we have to deal with
right.
as a designation for code. But ultimately, that sphere of influence is county responsibility. Our jurisdiction is unincorporated area, so. We deal with it. You know, City of Mount Shasta is welcome to comment on general plans, housing plans, straight
But you don't have to, because you don't have something specific in a county ordinance that gives them the ability to say, no, we're not going to have this here.
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, I brought this up before. Here's one of my frustrations. The Shasta subdivision down by Lake Siskiyou. It's supposed to be a 2.5 acre minimum. The lots down there are, you could put up a house, multiples. They're stacked in there like cordwood. And we had a person come before this commission wanting a vacation rental in there, and it was denied because it wasn't on 2.5 acres. Now, how can you deny that when the damn subdivision is already there? And how can you enforce that? I know this is petty. It's long gone. He has sold the house. They got new occupants, blah, blah, blah. But that is flat wrong. They allowed the subdivision. I don't know what the lot sizes are, but they sure in the heck aren't 2.5 acres. And yet we have to use the 2.5 acre thing for this person so he can't use that for a house, for a vacation rental. That's my frustration. And that's one of the things that need to be addressed in this general plan. Because that is an inequity that was there long before all this other stuff came down. And this is why I asked, you know, are we going to see, how much of this are we going to see, you know?
Yeah, hopefully a lot.
Yeah, well, the thing is, just like when I was on the City Council of Mount Shasta, we started the general plan upgrade or whatever you want to call it. When I left there after two terms, it was still not done. So.
Yeah, this will be a long process.
Yes, okay.
Are there any additional comments?
Commissioner Fowle? I'm going to have my Commissioner Hart moment today.
Uh-oh.
So, first question directed to Mr. Dean, most likely, possibly to counsel. Did we have any county representation when Cal EPA was up here doing their tour in Shasta Valley here 2 weeks ago now, I think it was?
Yeah, there was some. I didn't participate. Matt Parker participated, and I know, I believe, Supervisors Hout and Copsa. Okay. But
what?
There was no staff from our department.
Okay. Have you heard a synopsis feedback from Mr. Parker and whoever else was out there on what was said or relayed by Cal EPA?
Not in any detail to speak of. I had a conversation with Mr. Parker. It was specifically to the cannabis droids, or you know, it's a lot of my interest.
Was he frustrated?
He said that they attempted to go and take the EPA to the Vista area to have a look at the impacts, and they didn't want any part of it.
Specifically said, we are not going in that area.
Yeah, we don't have time for that.
Okay.
So that was accurately shared to me. I'm looking at this as a planning commissioner for public health and safety, specifically with water and water quality. What, and this I guess is maybe where I direct to council, what abilities, what power does the county have to force the state, specifically Cal EPA, to come in and test water quality in the immediate vicinity and on site of where the illegal grows are occurring?
Well, generally enforcement's discretionary. I'd have to look into whether there's any triggers that can mandate them to come and do that.
Would it help if a neighbor to that disaster allowed the county to come in and pull water samples from one or more of their wells to show proof of the illegal substances that are being leached into the aquifer?
You mean,
would that be enough for the county to say, hey, state, we have a problem here, get your butts up here and help us with it?
That would, I'm sure, certainly help a lot. I still don't know whether we'd mandate the state to come up and check, and I don't know, maybe Rick has some more comments in this area, but not.
Well, we're stuck in a situation here where any action that the county takes, even though it's for public health and safety, and it's addressing illegal activity, the county's gun-shy because we're going to get sued for being racist. We've got to pull in more partners. And the state, obviously, with their last visit, made it very clear they had no desire to go out there for whatever reason. I have my suspicions. It's got to be addressed because it's, that leads to my next question. Has the county, particularly Mr. Dean, your office or staff, been included by the State Water Resource Control Board with any of the discussions of the development of the new E-regs and in-stream flows, specifically for the Shasta, but also for the Scott, which they are rapidly trying to take action on and come up with new regs?
Yeah, I know we haven't been included in that conversation.
Has the county reached out to the State Water Resource Control Board, whether it be your office, Mr. Parker, whomever, to provide input in the development of those new E-regs and in-stream flow criteria?
I don't have anything specific for you, Commissioner. You know that Supervisor Howe has a lot of interest in that. Matt Parker is better.
Because I have not seen a lot of county participation in the meetings. I know Farm Bureau is carrying a heavy load. I know Agua from Scott Valley has been heavily involved. I know there are a few landowners in the Shasta who have been involved, but from a next level up county, it's been lacking. And we need support because this is headed down a path that is not good for our county. And I bring this up, I just had an interview on Sunday with a graduate student from Oregon State doing a paper on the Klamath Basin, specifically looking at the impacts to the Shasta and Scott and the relationship between the Shasta and Scott and the Klamath. In relation to curtailments, E-regs, flow restrictions, dam removal, water quality, water quantity, it's a massive undertaking by this student. Interviewed four of us from Scott Valley, four or five from Shasta, four from the Klamath, and you know, the back and forth. This is an issue that, I mean, some of us up here knew this was coming 10, 15 years ago. And the county still, I do not see the participation and the involvement that I feel is necessary to be on the cutting edge of keeping something terrible from happening.
Yeah.
It's getting scary. Yeah.
My ditches are dry.
So I ask those questions because we've, as a county, got to change.
Yep.
Because it's what comes out of the new e-regs, which until we get a new governor or a new party in power in Sacramento, we're stuck with them. This isn't an e-rig for drought years. It's more or less been said Siskiyou County is in a permanent state of drought.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's almost verbatim from the governor and his staff. So with decreased available water for agriculture, the landscape is going to change. And we are going through our general plan update right now. And that's why when we had our joint meeting, and I directly asked the consultants, have you, in past experience, included SGMA? Have you included other state regulation on natural resources in general plans? It's going to be imperative that this next update pulls that information in to guide us in how we're going to develop and provide business opportunity in Siskiyou County based solely on one agency.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I'd like to piggyback on what he's saying, a little bit different. He's talking about in-stream flows, but as a private citizen, I wrote letters to the State Water Board on public comment yesterday regarding the bills that are part of the conservation legislation. The proposal, for those that may not know, is that 47 gallons per person per day will be the max of water use. And, you know, right now they're focusing on municipalities and restriction of water. but they are also talking about metering domestic wells with this regulation. And, you know, it's 47 gallons initially, ramping down to 42 gallons, where the state minimum threshold for human health and safety is 50 gallons per person. And they want to go below that. So that is something I don't know if you guys have heard about, but it's coming and it's, you know, going to be a big issue that's going to hit our citizens because this stuff is only ramping up with water use. And I can say personally, you know, the state hasn't maintained my wells. They didn't put in my water system. They're not going to meter my well. I can tell you that. I mean, just my little private well, I've got $40,000 into it. I'm not having anybody tell me.
Yeah.
I'm not, you know.
Which assembly bill was that?
It was part of assembly bills. I pulled it up here. It was originally part of the 2018 Senate Bill 606 and 1668 that was collectively known as the conservation legislation. And that those bills were supposed to promote water efficiency. But the State Water Board has met that as permanent restrictions and curtailments to, you know, this 47 gallon per person to less, you know, and like that includes, like for us, you know, domestic water supply, that's, you know, feeding our livestock, that's doing laundry, that's, you know, everything. That's not a lot of water when, you know, I've got currently 100 gallons a day, like that's not going to even fill a stock tank.
And to add to that, the discussion behind the scenes in Sacramento, what we in Siskiyou County saw with the inability to get insurance for fire because of failed upland management and fuel loads, and the pressure and the pain that that put on our constituents will likely be implemented with this legislation, because the discussion is that in order to get homeowners insurance, if you are not compliant with this new regulation of the meters on domestic wells, you will not be able to get homeowners insurance.
Mm-hmm. And like our thing, I mean, we grow a lot of our own food. You know, we've got a pretty significant orchard and home garden. You know, we're like, how do we grow our own food? You know, with that.
And, you know, bathe.
I've got health issues. I've got a blood disorder where I'm highly allergic to allergens, hence my constant cyanitis. I do a ton of laundry as a result. I'm like, how do I maintain that? I've already got air filters in every room. You know, I've done everything I can do. So I'm fighting that on a personal note, but as an FYI, it's coming. It's not just an urban problem. It's coming, and it's concerning. I haven't heard about it at the planning commission level, but my question would be, or comment to you guys would be, is like, if they're restricting this, you know, in addition to Sigma, how are we going to provide housing, you know, to new people that want to move to our community, low-income housing, all the things that the governor's wanting to do? Because as I sent you guys some of the housing stuff, he's cut the green tape with allowing housing, but yet we don't have water to provide for those houses. So there's some stuff. So it's just points of comment, but I did write a personal letter just from my own household because, yeah.
Garden. Chair.
Yes, please.
Earlier I talked to Rachel about Elizabeth, what's her name?
Nielsen.
Nielsen. When she first started this study 3-4 years ago, whenever it was, I met with her twice about the 4 or 5 water basins in the county. And I asked Rachel, I said, is this going to come to a head? Is there going to be a report or something? And I may not be exactly what we talked about, but where I'm going with this, is this going to be considered in the general plan?
That's Sigma?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Thank you.
And at some level, it'll have to be.
Yeah, it's done and approved.
Okay.
Yeah, Sigma's...
They signed off on it.
Yeah, Sigma's...
They did sign off on it.
Yeah, Sigma's at the state level.
Thank you, Rachel.
Sigma's is approved, and it's, like, moving through the state.
That is for the Scott and the Shasta. How about for the Butte?
I don't think Butte has been signed yet, yeah.
That one hasn't, and
right,
then...
Right, but it should be soon. Okay.
That one should be soon, and then...
Tule Lake
is in the same path as Butte, isn't it? Or is it different?
Well, maybe it was just signed.
I think they're signed off.
Okay. I knew only two officially,
right.
And there were some modifications requests from the state to address further.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Commissioner Fowle, was there four basins?
Four with the proposed fifth in
yes.
South County, the south face of Shasta, correct? Weren't they considering treating that as a separate basin? But it wasn't identified as being significant.
It's a small basin. But it's
yeah.
It has to be at least a medium-sized basin.
Yeah. It was Scott, okay. Shasta, Butte, and Tule.
Okay. Thank you.
Got it. Okay. Any other comments from the commission?
No, ma'am.
Commissioner Hart.
All right. I don't like meters either. The state
like who?
Owns the water, not you.
Then they need to start paying for all my water filters.
Well, that's fine. But the state owns the water. It's a public trust resource.
Even groundwater?
Yep.
Even groundwater.
That's the position currently.
That's the legal position.
Is it legal or is that
that's
their
the
position?
That's the court's position.
Unless it's patented.
Because there was some...
That hasn't been challenged.
Okay,
thank you.
Let me make my point.
Yeah, go ahead.
If the state comes in and dictates there's going to be meters, it's going to happen.
Are they
They're going to come in, and if you don't I'm just telling you what's going to happen.
I know, and it scares me.
They'll come in and hit you with a cease and desist order.
I know, it scares me.
I mean, I've got a neighbor right out here who just got hit with one. Okay? I just found out about it from the State Water Resources Control Board. So, and I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you what is reality. In both of these river systems, we have no idea what the water balance is. How much water is there? How much is being used? They're going to set down limits of how much water is going to be in both of these rivers year-round. And until we know what the water balance is, you're guessing in the dark. The only way you're going to get that is with data with meters. And that means on every well, not just ag. Because, and this goes back to the housing element with Sigma, it's exempt from CEQA. We can go cut the whole darn county up. Because house wells are exempt. The county can issue just as many house wells as they want. So until we get a handle on how much water's there, we're all just running around in a circle.
Yeah. I think the thing I object to, and this is, you know, personal conversation, is, you know, being restricted down to 42 gallons a minute. That doesn't allow me to run my household or my garden. And I object to that when I've invested so much into that land. I wholeheartedly object to that when the state's not paying my bills. You know, they don't provide me water. They have not upgraded that. And if they want to, they need to, you know, reimburse me for the costs of that I have been put in to have good water. I know, but that's how I feel because
let's go back.
I pay more than my fair share of taxes.
Right. At the last water board workshop 2 weeks ago, about a 9-hour meeting, and I listened to most of it out there running around on my horse. There was a presentation given by a consulting firm out of Arcata called Riverbend. They did a 1-year analysis on the LCSs in Scott Valley and over here, looking at trends of evaporation, making the claim that the LCSs did not work in Scott Valley. And he started talking about all the different crops that were out there. He didn't go out and ground truth anything to see what was there. And what came out of that meeting from a couple of the producers over there actually refuted everything that that gentleman presented. It's because of the flaw in the actual study itself. It's a work in progress. I don't know what the answer is to get around this. Data is not going to hurt you.
Yeah.
You've got to have data.
And I, and as somebody who has, you know, background in science, I am wholeheartedly in data. I do, you know, we do research. I believe in data. But for them to make arbitrary regulations and thresholds without that data is where I object, and I think this is all premature.
Well, I agree with you 1,000%. Back to what Mr. Fowle's talking about, what happened here, that Cal EPA didn't want to go out there and see that, and you're having problems. You might want to change your course on how you're approaching that, since the Karuk tribe is pretty much managing the Louis Ranch and all of the springs out there. Why aren't you talking to the biologist at the Karuk tribe and get them involved and looking at the water coming out of those springs? It's all the same source. No, I know, just a suggestion. Should have kept my mouth shut.
Yeah.
Nope.
So anyways, lots to be had, and, you know, this is...
Steamroller is coming.
It's a steamroller.
Sonoma County have already put into play their public trust doctrine conversation. And it includes me. And all of the environmental groups are on top of that. The comment letters that we're getting. So
they want it.
A challenge. And I hang on. We're trying to hang on to 2 acre feet per year for domestic well. And I'm hoping we can do that. But other jurisdictions are coming below that level.
And I can tell you, because of the focus on agriculture by the state, by and large, I won't say 100%, but the majority of the ag community says if we're getting metered, everybody's getting metered. because we've taken the curtailments, we've taken the cuts, we've taken the reductions. Everybody needs to feel this.
Yeah.
But how does the county know whether somebody who's got 2 acres out there is using less than 2 acre-feet of water, unless you got a meter?
Unless you have a meter.
I could take you right out there in Big Springs Ranches and show you that's not happening.
Yep.
We're trying to be practical about it and have an affidavit signed. The other thing that everybody seems to ignore is that 85% of that domestic water use is recharged back into the aquifer. And they don't take that into account.
No, I know they don't.
No. You know, when we look at Sky Valley for our resolution, all the water use, really, domestic, is around 4% of the total ag use. But yeah, even, you know, 85% of that 4% is getting reduced back in volume.
That's right.
Yeah. Absolutely. They also don't. Yeah.
It's de minimis.
Yep.
It is.
And they also, you know, don't take into account the land change out in like the Shasta Valley with all the juniper intrusion. You know, juniper is very efficient at taking water. They take anywhere from 50 to 150 gallons a day per tree. You figure you got 200 to 300 of those. You know, just do some simple math on hundreds of thousands of acres of juniper, and it wasn't native there in quantity. And what that has done to the aquifer, because they, you know, we always say in forestry, they can, you know, they can suck a rock dry. Their capillary action in the root system is so efficient at sucking water. And I know anecdotally when juniper's been cut down, within like 2-3 days, springs will pop back up. And there's no talk about management of the land with all those straws on the ground on how to get back to a historic balance, and that's aggravating too.
I mean,
and that's back to the general plan.
Chris and Ogren
are on that
juniper's suck campaign.
Oh, I haven't heard of that.
There's a whole movement to have junipers removed from the landscape.
Yeah, they need to just be back to. It's a restoration process.
Fire is a good thing with junipers.
Yeah, no.
Oh, they like it.
So okay, well, it sounds like we're just sharing a bunch of info here. So I'm going to go ahead and adjourn the meeting at 10:08.